Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, we're in for a long one. A long weekend, that is. And you deserve to spend it on the couch with a glass of something good. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered quickly. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Melbourne, Australia's Jason McDaniel's latest album, Honky Tonk Life, may just be what the doctors ordered for the times we're in. Jason says his new record is celebrating good times, good music, good whiskey, and living life to the full. It's a blend of country, rock, and blues. Jason joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his music and his new record and the latest single, Peer Pressure Breakdown. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, g'day, Greg. Thank you. It's great to be on.
Great to have you. Thank you. Thank you for getting up early and joining me here this evening for me. But great. Always fun to have these cross-continent connections. And you are in Australia, right? What part?
Yeah, in Victoria, so very close to Melbourne, Victoria.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. And you've been at the music business for quite a while, right?
Yeah, really, I suppose professionally since 1995, so we've been going for some time.
Yeah. And if I read right, you actually started when you were about 18?
That's correct. Yeah, started playing in pubs when I was 18 and, you know, just doing solo gigs, etc. So that was a bit of fun. It wasn't necessarily country. It was pretty much play for your life, you know, play every request they throw at you.
Yeah, right. And then early on kind of got hooked up with some professional musicians and kind of took you for a ride, huh?
Yeah, I did. I got really lucky at one of those pub gigs. My life. I was in my hometown of Richmond in New South Wales. I'm originally from New South Wales, up near Sydney, Hawkesbury, actually, in the Blue Mountains. And the Slim Dusty Band, who I'm sure you guys would have heard of Slim Dusty over there, who's probably the king of country, or is the king of country music here in Australia.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were coming into my hometown of Richmond, and there was a fella called Mike Walsh who had the local picture theatre, who was a TV celebrity. And I was playing at the pub that night, and a few members of the band the Friday night came in and just sat in the corner and just watched and sent up some requests. And then I had a break, and the guitarist out of the band, the Dusty Band, came up to see me and said, "Oh, that was me sending up all these requests, you know." And I'm like, "Wow, you know." And he says, "Oh, we're here tomorrow night. Do you want to come and see Slim Dusty? Do you like Slim Dusty?" I said, "Well, who doesn't? Everyone likes Slim Dusty." So got
cool.
A couple of free tickets, and from that, you know, Charlie, the guitarist of Slim, said, "Hey, you know, do you know enough songs to do a full show, country song?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I think I can do that. It's a bit of Neil Diamond, a bit of the Eagles, and, you know, a bit of other country. We'll be right. We'll get there." So he said, "Well, we've got a gig on for our country band called Montana. Come over and try out." So I went and tried out. had been there ever since. From that day onwards, that was really the change of it. From there, then it took us on a big ride.
Wow, that's cool. Mm. So, and that literally put you on the road full time with them, right?
Yeah, it did. So it was one of those, you know, right place, right time. So it's a freaky thing to happen. But yeah, we then toured continuously up and down the east coast of Australia, and with some fantastic artists. You know, Slim, of course, and, doing shows with people like Becky Cole and some other, you know, the Wolverines and Chad Morgan, some real icons of the industry here too. You know, going back, Stan Costa, who wrote a lot of songs for Slim Dusty. Yeah, so it was a really good grounding to work with people like that.
Yeah. Did you guys ever get a chance to tour the United States?
No, we never did. We always talked about it. We always dreamt about it. but we just never, ever got it going. You know, we were self-managed. We had no managers or PR or anything there. We just booked all the gigs ourselves and did everything ourselves. And, yeah, we just never, ever got around to it. We had a lot of work in Australia, and then if we weren't working, you know, the guys would be off, you know, we'd be going to do backing for some other artist,
mm-hmm.
place off. So, yeah, we just never got around to it, unfortunately. We always wanted to.
So somewhere in there, you managed to get a solo album out several years ago, Man in the Black Hat. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's right.
So yeah, was so, that why yeah, you were playing that. With them, or were was there a break? How did that come about for you?
Yeah, that was very early on in the career. So that was 1995 that I released that. So that was whilst I was, you know, touring with Montana. And a good friend of mine, a fellow called Johnny Ashcroft, who wrote Little Boy Lost, which was a massive hit, I think a worldwide hit, actually. He was one that kept saying to me, you know, you've got to, at your age, back then I was, you know, 19 years of age, 20 years of age, you've got to, you know, write your own songs and show people that you can write and sing. So that was how the album came about, was from doing that. You know, John was really pushing me, and so was Slim. So that's what I did, wrote the 12 of the 13 tracks off that album, and brought it out, and yeah, we had a fantastic run with it. That really helped us. So that was really the start of it for me, you know, on a solo type career. But still working with the band, I just used the Montana band as my backing band.
Oh, sweet!
It shows up for me.
Yeah. So was that the first time you'd had any real experience in writing songs? Was that part of your life?
Yeah, it was. I'd had no experience previous to that, and you know, working in the band, getting to meet some great Australian songwriters like Stan Costa and Glenn Ford, who wrote a song for me on that album, Suddenly Changed. You know, they were always giving me tips at the gig, you know, hey, you know, this is how you put a song together properly, and obviously you'd listen, you know, and this is how you put sort of string the, you know, get a nice flow, string the words together, and, you know, and the music, etc. So I was lucky that I had a good schooling, I would call it, you know, from these guys who were very well experienced, but, you know, that was definitely my first furore into it. I'd never written songs before until I was sort of coerced into it to say, come on, here we go. So, yeah.
Did you continue after that? I mean, obviously playing in the, you stayed in the band, but was songwriting then a part of your life through this journey?
Yeah, I did. And over the years now, I don't know, probably written, I would hate to think, I don't know, I'll say at least a couple of hundred songs over that time.
Okay, awesome.
But, you know, kept songwriting. But and we used to do the new songs at the shows, but never got around to recording them. We were actually that busy on the road doing shows, we just never had time to get back to the studio to do the next albums. You know, some of the songs that are on this new album, Honky Tonk Life, one of them, particular I wrote during that time, it's called Childhood Day.
Oh, cool.
That I wrote back then. So yeah we've just sort of rehashed it a bit. So, you know, because my voice back then when I recorded it but never released it, was obviously sound different than it is today because I was a lot younger. Put it up and put the new lyrics over it. So that'll be on the new one to release. But yeah, that song's probably 20 odd years old.
So here you find yourself 20-some years later and kind of in effect your first solo project, certainly since all of that. And so how did the new record come about? How did you finally get to the space where you could put this new project together?
Well, I've been sort of threatened for years to, you know, do it again and get back into it. And my daughter, who loves singing and acting, she kept pushing me, you know, come mm-hmm. on, Dad, you got to do something. You know, why did you stop? Get back into it. And obviously 6 months, oh, no, 12 months ago now, when COVID struck here in around the world, in March of last year, Victoria went into a full lockdown and we couldn't go to work. So we weren't allowed to leave our houses. So
wow, yeah.
That was the time. There was no excuse. Like, you know, I couldn't say, no, too busy because of work or too busy because we're doing this or that. I had no excuse, you know, and I had all the time in the world to be able to sit and write. So that was the time it really happened. I thought, well, okay, Hallie's right, my daughter, so let's do it. If I don't do it now, I'll never do it.
Right.
And that was it. So I picked up the pen and started writing.
So most of the songs then you wrote specifically for this record?
Yeah, specifically for this record. I sat down and thought about what story I wanted to tell for the album and sort of placed that story there and said, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. And simply, yeah, we're going through some bad times, obviously, because nobody can work. So, you know, everyone in the world was not having fun. So I thought, well, let's try and write some songs about, you know, having good times, you know, good music, good whiskey, and good times.
Yeah,
so that's how the whole album is based about. I just call it a party album.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it has that. It has that. At least for us here in the United States, that classic '70s, '80s kind of country vibe party album.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's kind of right, straight down the middle. So, yeah, I like what you did with it. That's cool.
That's what I'm aiming for, because one of my big influences of American country music, or two of them, are certainly Hank Williams Jr. and Waylon Jennings. So
yeah, okay.
You know, growing up listening to those two, I sort of, you know, I didn't copy their sound, but there's certainly, when you listen to the album, you can sort of hear those influences in there.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back.
Oh, we're in for a long one. A long weekend, that is. And you deserve to spend it on the couch with a glass of something good. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered quickly. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
You are listening to Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Music Magazine.
Welcome back to the interview.
And it's just out, right? Or has it actually come out yet?
It actually comes out on the 9th of April.
Okay. All right. So,
yeah.
So you have at least one single out then, though. Is that correct?
There is a single out now, Peer Pressure Breakdown.
Yeah, okay.
That's out running. It's available on all the electronic download platforms.
Were you able to do this, the recording project itself, in a home studio style, or were you able to get out and go into a bigger studio to do this?
Yeah, look, with technology today, you know, I was lucky enough that I've got a good buddy over, actually in America, in Georgia, Seth Portable, who is a country singer-songwriter in his own right. And Seth has his own studio there, so...
Mm-hmm.
What happened was we used session musicians in his studio.
Ah, okay.
And I recorded the vocals here in Australia in my studio. And then I would come in on Zoom and, you know, say, yep, this is what we wanted. Or, you know, I'd record the drums and, you know, lead guitar parts. And then I'd send them over and obviously the professional musos would play them better for me.
Yeah, that's
what
cool.
I do. I'm not a drummer. And then, you know, we'd get on Zoom and have a Zoom meeting live into the studio and say, yep, that's it. No, that's not it. So it was like I was there, but I wasn't. You know,
yeah.
But thank God for technology, because it actually allowed me to do this album and get it out.
It's amazing how the technology and then COVID and how it affected the world has forced us into pushing technology to the limits, but allowing this type of conversation that we're having today to happen, flawlessly, and you to be able to get together with somebody in another state in this country and put this record together and have it come out the way you want it, and never cross the ocean. You know, it's just kind of cool.
I know it is. It's really cool, isn't it? And that's the great thing if you embrace technology, I suppose. I felt when I was talking about it, a friend of mine said to me, "Go and watch a documentary on the Rolling Stones," and I did. And he was making the point to me that they were more or less doing it like this, you know, way back in the 70s and 80s, before this sort of, they'd be all in different parts of the world reporting, and then they'd sort of send it, they'd mail it to one another and post it. So,
yeah.
But, it's, we're not too different. It's just the technology now has made it a lot faster.
So,
thankful for that.
Yeah. So what do you hope to do with this? What's your big dream once they let us out and you can take this out and share it with a fan base? Or do you want to tour with it? Are you still with Montana? What does it look like for you when you can get out on the road?
Yeah, so now we're starting to book shows because the COVID 19 restrictions over here are easing up dramatically. So, festivals are starting to come back online. Albeit they might be limited in the number of people that can attend, but they're certainly starting to open up again.
Mm-hmm.
And we can certainly start the tour. So we're booking shows start to get ourselves around the country now and tour with this album. So once it comes out on the 9th, our first show is the 18th of April, and then we start running after that. So, for us, as we say, we're really going to try and get around to as many towns as we can and do as many shows as we can over the next 12 months and, then hopefully catch up with a whole lot of people up in Tamworth at our big country music festival in January and do some shows there and get to say hello and meet a lot of people and old friends and new friends and continue on.
Will you tour this as yourself and fronting the band, or is this Montana that's going to go out and you'll be playing with them and playing, sharing the stage?
Yeah, no, I'll be touring it as myself, as a solo album. Montana now, those guys are pretty much retired.
Okay.
When I joined the band, I was 18 when I first joined Montana, and they were all sort of 40 years of age. So
gotcha. Okay.
They're sort of way at the other end of their career now.
Yeah.
So I've got a new band now that I call the Honky Tonk Life Band, and, that is a whole heap of new musos who are just absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to get these guys out on the road. They're, we're rehearsing right at the moment, and the shows are certainly going to be rowdy, that's for sure.
So this is really a whole new chapter for you in your career then?
It is, yes. It's basically starting again.
Yeah.
Very much a whole new chapter, yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song on the record? Do you have one?
Oh, I do. There's certainly Honky Tonk Live, the title track.
Uh-huh.
And my other favorite on there is the song called Country Hallelujah, which is a bit of a pun. Somebody said to me, you've got to write a love song. Country songwriters need to write a love song. So I wrote a very rowdy love song.
Hallelujah is a love song. That's great.
Yeah, Country Hallelujah. No, it's certainly not a typical love song.
So you're continuing to write. Is this the first in a series that you hope to do? Is there more on the way?
Yeah, there's certainly more on the way. I was only talking with Seth the other day, and he said, "What are you going to do now? This is released." I said, "No," because he obviously helps me with the songwriting. I sent stuff backwards and forwards, kick ideas around. So we're getting straight back into it. So we've already started, on the next few songs for the next album to follow up next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this will be, we're coming back into it, hoping we can make it full time again and keep pushing it.
Is this the theme musically? Does this feel like this is the vibe and the genre that you're going to play and write and perform in? This kind of, kind of down the middle classic country vibe, is this where you're headed?
Yeah, I think it certainly will be. It's what what I feel, it's a feel that, you know, I like, and I feel that, you know, the audiences that have seen me in the past when I've done shows like this with this type of music have certainly enjoyed. And, you know, I quite enjoy this feel of country music because I love the upbeat, you know, get up out of your chair and have a dance and, you know, and enjoy the night style of music. So that's certainly where we'll be. But, you know, on the lighter side of life, I'm not into writing heavy songs.
Yeah.
We've got to think too hard about it. So.
Do you have a favorite venue that you like to play in?
I tell you, one of the best venues that I've played in over the years has been Gibbon Muster, which is a big festival up in Queensland. And they have it in the state forest there. It's just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it's played in the state forest. You're up on the stage. You know, the people are in front of you. And you're just playing, you know, to this big amphitheatre, natural amphitheatre, which is amazing.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
To be.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. So the new record is Honky Tonk Life. Current single is Peer Pressure Breakdown. That's out now. Honky Tonk Life will be out by the time listeners are hearing this. It'll be late March, so we'll have about a week or so for them to wait to get that. What's the best way to reach out and connect with you and get a hold of this record and listen to some of your music and maybe even listen to some of the stuff that you did in the past with Montana and the earlier album?
Yeah, so if... on all the digital platforms, obviously on iTunes, Spotify. I've got a website, which is jasonmcdaniel.com.au. They can go to that. And obviously there's the social media page, Facebook, Jason McDaniel Official. All the news and all the releases and early releases and links to the songs can be found amongst those, you know, when we're touring, all our information. And happy to chat with anybody. They can send messages and I do respond.
Great. Thanks, Jason. This has been fun. It's cool. I like the style. Again, it's just, I like what you're doing, and I certainly wish you well. I know it's, starting over is fun and exciting and scary at the same time, and I certainly wish you well with it. I think it's going to be a good ride for you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate it. Really did.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.